ladies and gentlemen, it's the Muppet Show!
I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
And Kyle, today what we're doing is we did this. Did we do this twice with Michael Bagford?
I think so.
We definitely did Genesis.
We did it twice. I'm not sure if they were both Michael Bagford. I think they were, though.
But this is the tier on Patreon where you pick a list of songs, you pick a topic, and you send them to us and with some notes. And you you basically co-host the show from where you live. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Remote.
Remote record. So tonight we have a longtime listener, and he engages on the social media big time, and he's a cool kid, and his name is Aaron Kahn. So Aaron has gone one step further than Bagford, who apparently is lazy.
Normally you just type a
list.
Yeah, well, he's sitting there waiting for auction, or for, what are they, giveaways.
Oh, yeah, he has packages coming weekly from us, so he doesn't have time to record anything. But Aaron recorded all of his little intros for the songs he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic tonight is, you already know, it's the Muppets. So Kyle and I picked some stuff that we're going to be playing throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear Aaron's voice throughout. So let's start off with something that tells us. By the way, how are you doing, Kyle?
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to be driving cross country in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm not.
You did it. This will be the second time in a year that you've done it.
Yeah, I just, I'm not into it. That's what I'm going to tell you. I don't want to do it.
You offered. What?
I know. I've done it so many times, it's ridiculous. When you moved out here, I did it. When I moved out here, I did it. Then I went back, and then I came back and picked up more stuff and came back again. It's nuts. If you've never done it, don't do it.
Yeah, well, we don't stop. Like, we stop to, like, eat and go to the bathroom. We don't, like, we're not like, let's stop at the Grand Canyon. No. Let's stop it. We're just like, let's drive as far as we can.
Look at the biggest ball of yarn. Yeah. No. And I have to really watch how much fluid I take in the car. Or else I'll be peeing constantly, and I don't want to do that. Should I get one of those things?
Like just get like a fishbowl.
Like Pap Joe has.
Oh, like a piss jug that he like sits next jug. To his like, bed?
But it's not like a Gatorade bottle. It's like
a medical one that they give you that he probably went to the doctor and was like, oh, hey, can I have one of those?
Can I have one of those?
In a completely unrelated visit.
Yeah. My wrist is hurting. Can I have a piss jug?
I remember he took me to, when I was really little, I got sick. At school, and he had to take me to, like, you know, I had like an ear infection or something. They had to check me out. And so they took my blood pressure, and then he was back there with me, and he goes, do you mind taking mine while you're back here? And they're like, I guess.
Stupid.
Okay. And then he tried to, and then he was like, remember what they say. It is. I was like 7.
Yeah.
I had like an ear infection. I just want to get home. Yeah. Watch The Price is Right.
You don't even remember what your blood pressure is.
No, he wanted me to remember what his was.
Oh, what his
told,
was.
What they told him his was, yeah.
I wish whatever you remembered was super high.
And 1,000?
And then he was like, that's not what it was! God damn it!
I know this is completely off topic, but one time, you know those blood pressure cuff machines at the grocery store or something they have?
Yes.
One time they had an out-of-order one, a sign on it, and he put his arm in and he hit the button. I said, that says out of order. He goes, oh, they put that on there so people aren't using it all day.
Really?
So
is that why they put an out of order sign on it?
So it starts inflating.
Yeah.
And it becomes very apparent very quickly that the reason it's out of order is because it won't stop inflating.
Oh, that's great. Because you know how that hurts.
So his arm's in there and he's going, ar, and it's like a bench thing. So he can't like move it out.
And it's his fault. It's
yeah.
His
and
fucking
he's like,
fault.
He's like, ah. And then eventually it gets to the point where it can't fill up anymore and then just goes like, psst.
Oh my God.
So it doesn't read anything. And he goes, boy, he goes, I guess it was broken.
Wow. Should have put his head in it. All right. Aaron Kahn is here. Not really. He's here in spirit.
In spirit and audio.
And the first magic. Track we're going to hear that Aaron recorded is he's going to tell us what brought him to the Rock Solid show.
Before I get started, I thought I'd talk about how I came to know about Rock Solid. It seems that on average, most people learn of the show because a musician was interviewed on the show. But that wasn't the case for me. For me, it was Survivor contestant David Wright that led me to Rock Solid. David was on Rock Solid in 2017, and he was on season 33 of Survivor, Millennials vs. Gen X. I've been watching Survivor since the night the fourth season aired, which would be Survivor Marquesas. And since then, I've been a loyal viewer, watching every year, every season. At the time I'm recording this, there have been a little over 500 Survivor contestants, and a couple of them I've related to in some way or another. But with David, his story really connected with me, and I could relate with it, given that he struggled with anxiety and was very open about it. After the season ended, I got to get in touch with David. He was very kind. Sooner or later, I saw that David had done two podcasts, one of them being Rock Solid.
Yes.
And listening to the podcast, I was looking down the whole list of episodes and thinking, is this something I could listen to it from now on.
Yeah, goddamn
right. Since
the
episode with David, I've been listening to every Rock Solid episode. And sooner or later, after a couple of weeks or months of listening to Rock Solid, I came to volunteer for Pop Culture Beast. And Pat, you've helped me out in getting in touch with the record labels, and if there's a new thing out that I want to review. One of those things being a John Lennon DVD, which I reviewed last October. And the review that I wrote ended up being retweeted by Johnny Oko's Twitter accounts, which was very, very cool.
That's right. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
And now I gotta be
all
honest.
All from us, so you're welcome.
You're welcome. Now, I got to be honest. I didn't listen to all your intros, Aaron. So, like, I didn't know you were going to say, like, some nice positive words about me. So I appreciate it.
Well, the rest are negative. I did listen to them.
Oh,
all...
is it really bad?
Yeah.
Oh,
he calls you some names that...
God, are you kidding?
Yeah. Maybe the kid shouldn't even listen to this.
All right.
Damn. Paint a bad picture.
I've sworn like 20 times already. And Aaron did say that a lot of people come to the show because they Google and they find, they just get, like a lot of people Googled Elliot Easton. And then I don't think Elliot Easton's ever done a 2-hour interview before, but he did on our show. So people find a lot of people found it by that. But when he mentions guests, he means people such as Nancy Wilson, Sean Cassidy, Sammy Hagar, John Waite, Terry Nunn, Elliot Easton, Martha Quinn, The Zombie, Stuart Copeland, Fee Wabel, Kenny Aronoff, The Bangles, Greg Kinn, Inara George, Dweezil Zappa, Jack Russell, Burton and Prescott from The Knack, Marshall Crenshaw, Bobby Brown, Stephen Piercy, Melissa Etheridge, Richie Zito, Kathy Valentine, Kim Shattuck, Lisa Loeb, Bruce Kulick, Jesse Malin, Tony Brock, Pamela DeBar, Stephen Bishop, Ricky Warwick, Lita Ford, Weird Al Yankovic, Michael DeBar, Steve Lukather, Wang Chung, Rudy Sarzo, Wendy Dio, and many, many more.
Are you channeling Eugene Levy's character from A Mighty Wind?
Kind of.
Oh, Mandy Warren.
Those, I think that's all the guests. You
and
know,
David
all the,
Wright.
And David Wright, of course, but he's not a musical guest.
He plays the coconuts or whatever. Is he back on Survivor?
He's
this
back
season?
On Survivor.
Wow.
They brought him back. Let me tell you something. If I was on Survivor and a returning player comes back on, that guy's gone first.
Yeah.
I don't even try to hide the fact. I just look at the guy and go, you know, you had a shot already.
So by gone first, do you mean you vote him out or you take your puzzle pieces and try and kill him with it?
You keep, what you do is you keep the, you have to keep him for at least 3 days because there's not a tribal council for 3 days.
So you try
days.
And injure them.
So you use their expertise. They've been there already. They know how to build a shelter. They know how to do some things. Say you learn as much as you can from them in the 3 days, and then they're gone. You vote them out. There shouldn't even be a discussion about it. You know what I mean? Like after the third day.
Why does that guy get a second chance?
Yeah, why does he get a second chance? There's a guy that was on the show, Boston Rob.
Mm-hmm. He was on 3 times.
He was on 4 times, I think, and he finally won.
He married a winner, and then he won.
Yeah, he married a girl named Amber. I'm so dumb, I can't say my wife's name.
Amber.
But, and people often tout him as one of the best survivors. No, he's not. It took him 4 times to win. There's a woman that had been on twice and won both times. She's the best.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. All right. Let's hear, Aaron has a little soundbite about what he does for employment. Here we go.
As far as a job, I work at Goodwill in Belmar, New Jersey, in their e-commerce department. And what I do there is I list fashion items that go up for auction or for sale. But once that's all out of the way, usually every Friday, I get to list a couple of vinyl records.
Now, I don't know if he does the fashion stuff anymore. I think he, and I'm sorry, Aaron, if I get this wrong, but I think he does just the music stuff now. I'm pretty sure he does.
I saw.
Which makes sense because he's like kind of an expert.
I saw that he posted. This has nothing to do with music, but I saw that he posted that he found like a map or something that someone had, like, I don't know if it was behind a picture or like just in a frame, and like he looked it up and it was like some crazy rare, like old, and they like, I think they sent it to a museum or something, or someone, maybe someone.
And then Nicolas Cage stole it.
Yeah. Squirted lemon juice all over it.
Yep. Figured it out. Mm-hmm. What's that movie called?
National Treasure.
I couldn't pull it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say it without me getting it out of you. What if I just edit to him, like, and then Nicolas Cage, National Treasure.
And then Nicolas Cage took Aaron's face off. What's that movie called?
Face Off.
Mm. No, The Wicker Man. That's
The Wicker Man. You still haven't seen
it?
No. Oh, you got to. Watch it with Casey, your brother. Okay, now, I'm going to interject here, because Kyle and I are going to play some songs, too, that we picked that are Muppets related. And I thought this one would go well after Aaron saying he worked at Goodwill. Because the reason that people shop at Goodwill is because, well, they love trash. You got to start the song.
Well, it is started.
There we go. Hey, you want to talk some trash?
Or Joe Perry.
I don't hate this version. It's better than anything on his solo album.
It's one of the best Aerosmith songs.
It might be one of the best Aerosmith songs in the last 15 or 20 years. And it's not even Aerosmith, it's just him. Okay, next up, Aaron's going to tell us, he's going to intro the topic. And then he's going to tell us a little bit about Sesame Street. Settle in, people.
Promoting the 2011 Muppets movie, actor Jason Segel was interviewed by Rolling Stone movie critic Peter Travers. When Travers asked Segel why he decided to make this movie, Segel answered by saying that he loved the Muppets, citing that they're a kid's introduction to comedy. I couldn't agree more. Growing up, the Muppets were always there, whether it be through Sesame Street or The Muppet Show. They were always there. Looking back, I think the Muppets helped shape my tastes in comedy and music. Speaking of which, the Muppets have been able to churn out some great music over the years. When you look at all the music released, you'll see that there's a wonderfully diverse songbook of tunes from both. What inspired me to pick the Muppets as a topic was from listening to Rock Solid for the last 2 years or so. It seems that in every other two or three episodes, Pat and company fall back on the Muppets.
It's true.
Whether it's Murray talking about showing his son the Muppet movie, Kyle remarking that the Rolling Stones' Neighbors sounds like a song that the monsters from Sesame Street would sing, you guys almost always go back to the Muppets. With that in mind, I became curious to see how an all-Muppet episode would play out. So with that and my lifelong love for the Muppets, that's why I picked this topic.
Neighbors.
Sesame Street has had a huge catalog of songs. With these songs, most of them were written by composer Joe Raposo. Raposo would end up writing dozens of songs for the show, up until his death in 1989. Picking just a couple of songs from Sesame Street is not an easy task. Looking at all the songs that have been written for the show, Sesame Street could have its own Rock Solid show. However, I've been able to narrow it down to the ones that have stuck with me the longest and or have a story attached to them.
All right, so that's why Aaron wanted to do the Muppets. And I can't agree more. We do talk about the Muppets a lot.
Yeah, that cereal, the well is very deep.
It is. And Muppets or cereal or cartoon theme songs.
There is a Muppet cereal.
There's a Muppet, what's it called? Muppetos?
No.
Oh, please let it be Muppetos.
No, it's a...
Grouchios.
No, it's a Swedish chef cereal. It's called Crunchy Stars.
Crunchy Stars?
Yeah, C-R-O-O-N-C-H-Y and then stars.
But you can't still get that, though.
No, it was only available for like 2 or 3 years.
What flavor was it?
No, it just looked like... It almost looked like... like star-shaped of what the Lucky Charms cereal is.
It's too inside with the crunchy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not... No one's gonna...
Durr.
I forgot that you said that the Rolling Stones song Neighbor sounds like a Muppet song. Aaron remembers all this. He writes it down, or he has a
steel trap.
I think he takes that Prevagen.
What's that?
That's the vitamin for your brain.
Is that what I can't even think, Ray Liotta takes?
No, he takes because
he's an actor. He takes father, ex-smoker, in that order.
Neighbors.
I hope that says it on his business card.
Oh, that's hysterical. Ray Liotta, I don't know about that guy. All right, here
he's
we go.
He's good in one movie, B movie.
Okay, so let's hear the intro to the first song Aaron's chosen, and then we're going to go right into that song also. So here we go.
Rubber Ducky is one of the first songs written for the show. While everyone should be familiar with the original sung by Ernie, I've picked Little Richard's cover from the 1990s. It's fun to hear rock and roll legends take on this classic song. I also love Little Richard's intro to the song, which makes me smile every time I hear it.
Well, here I am in my tubby again. And my tub is all filled with water and nice fluffy suds, honey. And I've got my soap.
I hope he's not here. Naked with
and
the
I
Muppets.
And I got my washcloth. Look at him. And I got my nifty scrub brush on. The scrub. And I've got my big, big fluffy towel to dry me off when I'm done. And I've got my pillow. And there's one other thing that makes tubby time the very best time of the whole day.
Did you say tubby time?
And you know what that is? A very special friend of mine. My very favorite little friend.
The band just starts playing. They're done with it.
It's exactly the way Michael Jackson lured kids into Neverland.
Rubber Ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber Ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Rubber Ducky, joy of joys. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber Ducky, you're my very best friend. It's true. Every day when I make my way to the
tubby. That was great.
Yeah, that was
I've
great.
Never heard that, and if I did, I forgot about it. Also, now, the nickname for my penis is my rubber ducky.
Little, it's not a Little Richard.
No, that's yours.
Oh, okay. He's 800 years old, right?
Yeah, he's still alive, right?
Yeah. He's like 86.
But he's like Kiss. He wears the makeup, and then you can't tell that he's old. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, Little Richard came before Elvis, and Elvis stole his licks, right? Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I spin it.
Little Richard was in the tub while Elvis died on the toilet.
How funny would that be if Little Richard killed Elvis while he was in the tub with his ducky, just like you said. I'm just repeating the joke you said, and it's not funny now, but that'd be funny. Since you brought up Elvis, can you play track 10? Can you move that up? This is one of my favorite newer things that has been on Sesame Street. I love this so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other Elvis. The Elvis I like.
Oh, I want to count to 10 now, but it's something I can do, 'cause I don't have all the numbers. No, I'm monster when I hit my red 2. And when I heard him shout cowabunga, that's when I knew that my count was through. And I can count anyhow, and I'm a monster when I hit my red 2. Ah. He was watching while I counted to 1. I was smiling because counting's so much fun. But he took my 2 and then he ate it for his lunch. Now my counting's over before it's begun.
I think Elmo sings here.
Oh, I'm feeling so sad now.
Hey, what is that?
'Cause my number got you.
That's too bad.
There are tears in my eyes.
Mr. Elvis has said.
Now I'm crying.
Okay. Mr. Elvis was sad. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo's great.
He's dressed up as Elvis Costello in that, right?
Yes, he is.
Like the glasses.
Yes, glasses and a hat. It's
I think
great.
He has like a suit coat on too.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I must have watched it like 3 or 4 times because it's so funny. I feel like we can play a lot of some of these YouTube clips because you can't buy these songs.
They're gonna get send Sam Eagle out to get us.
I'm a legal.
That was a pretty okay Sam Eagle. That wasn't too bad. Yeah.
All the Muppet voices, like a lot of the Muppet voices, are a variation of how Frank Oz orders his lunch. Because doesn't he voice a lot of them?
Yeah.
Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to direct some good movies.
Yeah. And not just Muppet movies.
What's
Blues Brothers? Oh no, he's just in that. He's the warden.
He directed Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, I think. Mm. What's the next song Aaron's going to tell us about?
Mm-hmm. Joe Raposo, Mark Saltzman. A New Way to Walk is a fun R&B-inspired tune that first aired on Sesame Street in 1985. The music sequence is presented as an MTV-styled music video coming from the Oinker sisters. It's a catchy song and would later be re-recorded by Destiny's Child in the 2000s. And between the two versions, at the original is much, much better. And it's a very catchy song, one of my all-time favorite songs from Sesame Street.
He likes the Oinker Sisters better than Destiny's Child.
Well, he just said this song. He didn't.
No, I think he likes him better.
I got a new way to walk.
Walk,
walk. I got a new way to walk.
Come on, Kyle.
Walk, walk.
Walk, walk.
I got a new way to walk, and it makes my spirit shine. You can tell from my walk that I'm feeling good.
Do you think we'll get any negative reviews that'll say, I thought the Muppets were going to be on this episode?
Probably. I was listening with my children, and then the host said, boner.
That's my favorite Muppet. Boner, he just pops right out when you least expect him.
How funny would that be? What was that movie that just came out that Brian Henson directed?
Oh, the Happy Time Murders?
God damn it. What a waste of time.
I didn't see it.
Neither did I. It looked like something that could be great, but you knew that it wasn't going to
be. It looked like a horrible version of a movie that was made 30 years previous called Meet the Feebles.
Oh.
By Peter Jackson.
Have you seen Meet the Feebles?
Yeah, it's great.
Why doesn't he sue?
He doesn't care. He's got that Lord of the Rings money. He doesn't care.
That puppet's shooting his yarn load for 20 minutes. Ha ha. And that seems like a scene that shouldn't be in the trailer.
Yes. I've heard multiple people say that that's the funniest scene in the movie, and it's ruined in the trailer.
Because that scene, that would have people rolling in the aisles if they didn't know it was coming. What's next?
You have a song.
I do. Are you sure?
I don't know.
No,
it's Aaron. Sorry.
Okay, it's an Aaron intro. An Aaron intro.
Performed by Grover, Monster in the Mirror is a song that I've come to appreciate more and more as an adult. Musically, the song sounds like something Phil Spector could have produced in the 1960s. It's one of my all-time favorite songs from Sesame Street.
He held Grover at gunpoint to get the...
This song's about Michael Jackson, Monster in the Mirror.
Saw a monster in the mirror when I woke up today. A monster in my mirror, but I did not run away. I did not shed a tear or hide beneath my bed. Though the monster looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, wubba, 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 woo, woo, woo. Wubba, 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 and a doodly-doo. He sang wubba, 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 so I sang it too. Do not wubba me, or I will wubba you.
I would actually love to hear the Ramones sing that.
That would be great. How drunk is Grover that he doesn't know how a mirror works? You know he's drunk too. He's like, wubble, wubble. Let's hear a classic song from Sesame Street. This is a parody. Let me tell you something. This is a parody of one of my songs. I actually had to take I had to take the Henson Corporation to court, and I won. They can't steal my
Hanson?
No, Henson.
Oh, Jim. Henson.
Jim, not Henson. Henson.
No, the brothers.
No, no, they sing Oombop. That's great. I love that song. No, Jim Henson, he stole from me, so I couldn't, well, here it is. Born to Add. Look at that riff. That's exactly like my song. It's exactly like all my songs.
I think it's a parody.
I sued him. That's before you could do parody and satire.
When we're roaming the streets and we see one car, we always add one and make it two. It don't matter why, we like to add one and one. Out here is the thing to do. Now some say that screaming 1 + 1 all night means we're thoughtless, cruel, and bad.
It's not even a good parody.
But kids like you and me,
it sounds like Meatloaf.
We were born to add. Yes, girl, we were.
All right.
You know the song Man or...
I thought that was going to be better.
You know the song Man or Muppet?
Oh, we'll be hearing you later. Spoiler. Spoiler.
Meatloaf is like the human version of Sweetums.
Except Sweetums is a better live performer. And in the studio, if you've heard Braver Than We Are.
By All Sweetums? Right.
By Sweetums. What's next? What do we got next?
Bruce will like this. I think this has to do with counting.
I love it.
Originally made in the 1970s, this song is notable as it features the Pointer Sisters singing. Along with the animated pinball sequence, it's a Sesame Street classic. Now, I have a funny story regarding the pinball number sequence, cartoon, and song. In my senior year of college, I was taking a class called Philosophy and Pop Culture, and each week we'd watch an episode of TV that matched up with what we were learning. And one week we were watching an episode of Family Guy, and it was the episode where Peter starts his own religion devoted to the Fonz from Happy Days. At one point in the episode, Stewie ends up in a bubble after his grandfather tries to baptize him in tainted water. And in a cutaway gag, Stewie acts as the pinball while he's in the bubble in a parody of the sequence. Now, while this was being shown on the projector, the professor asked the class if anybody knew the reference. I was the only one with their hand raised. Now, keep in mind, this is a room full of college students. It is possible that a couple of them probably didn't want to raise their hands.
Pussies.
But it's pretty bad when a room full of college students miss a Sesame Street reference.
12.
Oh, I like this part. I gotta be honest with you, that sounds like an amazing class that
Yeah, I never had that class.
No, I didn't have that class either.
I took a dinosaur class because my friend and I were like, oh, we need a science credit. We'll take this dinosaur class, it'll be great. The professor walks in and he looked like Dr. John Hammond, like almost exactly. I'm like, this is gonna be great. And it was super hard.
What'd you get in it?
Probably like a B-.
Wow. Why was it so hard?
I don't know. I was like, this is an elective. Ease up. I'm not a paleontologist.
If you didn't know the answer, did you just write Barney?
I wrote Barney, or I just drew a mosquito in amber.
What do we got next?
The animation on that on the pinball thing is really cool.
It is really cool.
If no one's seen it.
Let's hear what Aaron has to say.
Since the show's debut in 1969, Bert and Ernie have made for some of Sesame Street's funniest
69,
moments.
69, Bert and Ernie.
When it comes to Muppet pairs, almost all the ones between characters puppeteered by Jim Henson and Frank Oz are the ones that stick out the most. This is due to the fact that they are, more or less, a reflection of the friendship between Jim and Frank. Of the Muppet duos, the bond between Bert and Ernie probably comes the closest to showing Jim and Frank's working relationship. With that in mind, this makes the song and skit even funnier.
Oh, hi, Cuckoo Dog.
Hey. Wait, it's skipped one.
What happened?
Oh, hi. The Bert and Ernie one's not playing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Nope, I don't know what's wrong, but Dance Myself to Sleep will not play. Go. All right. Well, look. Sometimes there's technical difficulties, Aaron. We're sorry, but that song won't play. I don't know why, but it won't. Are you gonna? You can even check the music folder at the top.
I'm gonna see if. Yeah, it won't even. It won't even play the preview from the store.
Wonder what's up.
I don't get a refund.
All right, let's go back to the list then. Let's go back and see. Sorry, Aaron. I don't even know how that song goes. I couldn't even sing it if I wanted to. All right, this next thing is really cool. I have never seen this before. And if you know the Goo Goo Dolls song Slide, this is excellent. You're going to like this, Kyle.
Oh, hi, Goo Goo Dolls.
Hey, Elmo. How's it going?
Okay, pause it for a second. So Elmo walks up, and I was worried because the Goo Goo Dolls are there, and it's Johnny Resnick and the drummer and then an ogre. And I thought that he was going to be scared by the bass player.
He used to be around monsters.
Well, okay. So he might have just thought he thought that was Sweetums.
He actually said to that guy, he said, "Who are your ugly friends?"
Hi, Johnny Resnick and ugly guy. Okay, here we go.
Two.
Oh, Elmo's been a very busy little monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Elmo whisper in my ear. I really want to hear the things you did today that satisfied you.
Elmo reached the highest shelf. He got dressed by himself. And Elmo wants to say he's filled with pride, yeah.
When you've done the best you could. You feel really, really good.
Yeah.
You're feeling that pride.
Feeling that pride.
Yeah. You gotta feel that pride.
Let's hear another verse. I like this. I wanna hear it. I wanna see what else Elmo does to feel proud.
You helped your mother bake a pie. You fell and didn't cry. You made your bed and said your ABC.
Elmo learned to tie his shoe. Grew out of two and two. Elmo drank a bottle of milk and ate his teeth.
When you've done the best you could.
I love this song.
Yeah, it's great.
You feel really, really good.
This is my favorite Goo Goo Dolls song.
You're feeling that pride.
Please don't Google Goo Goo Dolls ugly bass player, Kyle. Your face will turn to stone. All right, that's good. That's great. Why aren't these, like this Elvis Costello and a song like this, why aren't these on an album?
Probably because the record label won't let them.
Oh, they're so fun. I love that.
Wouldn't you feel like an asshole if you weren't invited to be on Sesame Street? You'd be like, oh, well, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, because they're coming up. There are two assholes that have been on Sesame Street, and you can decide who they are. But right now, let's hear a little bit about. I think everyone knows about this song. This is Menomina.
First used in Sesame Street, Menomina has become a Muppets classic.
See?
What's even more interesting about this song is the backstory to it and where it originates from. The song was originally composed by a guy by the name of Piero Umiliani. And originally appeared in a movie called Sweden, Heaven and Hell, which was an Italian exploitation documentary about sexuality in Sweden.
What?
Which you would never expect coming from the Muppets. Because he would associate the Muppets with family entertainment. And, Menomina has this fairly kinky backstory. While the song was already a hit, Jim Henson and the Muppets made the song even more popular by using it in Sesame Street, The Muppet Show, and various talk show appearances Jim made over the years.
Menomina. 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 Menomina.
Very nice. All right, Kyle, coming up, could you scroll so I can see the whole list from where I'm sitting? Yeah, there you go. One of my favorite, I think the first James Taylor song I really ever heard on the radio, and then I remember buying the 45 and then buying the album, and I still love it to this day, is James Taylor's song, Your Smiling Face. And James Taylor was on Sesame Street once, and he was singing to Oscar the Grouch.
Or himself.
A nice, peaceful day, all by myself on the roof.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you.
Oh, he's ruining Oscar's day. Ruining Murray's day, too. He hates James Taylor.
I see your grouchy face. It makes me wanna smile because I like you just a little bit. And when you give me that nasty little frown, it turns me upside down. Something about you, Oscar, I don't know. Isn't it amazing that a grouch could make me feel this way? It looks so rotten, can't be forgotten in a day.
Maybe he's singing to Carly Simon.
He was Carly Simon singing about him.
So I think next we're going to hear like these two clips in a row and then right into the song. So take it away, Aaron.
While The Muppet Show was still going, Jim Henson decided to make a theatrical motion picture featuring the Muppets. The first of them, The Muppet Movie, remains my personal favorite of the 8 theatrical releases from The Muppets. Jam-packed with jokes and celebrity cameos, it still holds up 40 years after its release. The movie's soundtrack was written by Paul Williams and Kenny Asher, both of whom had contributed to the soundtrack for the 1976 remake of A Star Is Born. Williams wasn't a stranger to the Muppets, having appeared as a guest in the first season of The Muppet Show. Performed by Dr. Teeth in The Electric Mayhem, Can You Picture That? Is a great song from the first Muppet movie. I like how Jim Henson had the chance to create a house band for the Muppets on The Muppet Show, creating a Muppet rock band in the process. I've always liked this song, and I've liked this part of the movie where the Electric Mayhem give Kermit and Fozzie's Studebaker a psychedelic paint job.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Animal.
Everybody's lover, everybody's brother. I want to be your lifetime friend. Crazy as a rocket, nothing in my pocket. I keep it at the rainbow's end. Milk and honey, grinning like a Cheshire cat. I focus on the pleasure, something I can treasure. Can you picture that? Can you picture that? Oh, yeah! Hey, Floyd, take a verse.
Let me take your picture, add it to the mixture.
I just wanted to hear Floyd sing.
Oh, that's good.
He never really sings.
He's a good vocalist.
Rock and Peace Janice. Part of the 27 Club.
Really?
Janice Muppet, or whatever her name is.
Black Tar Heroin?
Yeah.
Main
line in it. Right through her puppet hole.
Speaking of her puppet hole, I heard that Janice was into fisting.
Yeah, doesn't she was like, yeah,
your whole hand. All right, here's another one of my picks. This is, I'm not even going to introduce it. I'm just going to let you know that I love it, and it should be on that album with the Goo Goo Dolls and the other shit. This one goes out to April.
It's Muppetsy.
April Richardson.
Monsters having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Happy, happy. See them jump and run. Happy, happy.
Oh, yeah.
Laughing all the while. Cheerful, cheerful. Flashing a big smile.
And there's a puppet that looks like Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
Oh,
it's great.
That they're feeling fine.
I like these because the rock stars really get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they they do it like it's a, you know, they record it as though
it's a real deal,
song
the real
from,
deal
on their album, you know, and they look like they're having fun, even James Taylor.
Right. The next song that Aaron's going to play, we're going to start at the beginning, then we're going to jump to 427. But let's hear him do the intro for Magic Store / Finale.
Last song I picked from the Muppet Movie is Magic Store / Finale. It's the last song in the Muppet Movie, and it's a song that brings the movie full circle in a way. And with the Muppet Movie, it's a very clever movie. I mean, what the movie's about is how Kermit got to meet all of his friends and become famous. But it surprises me how long it took me to figure this out, but it's Jim Henson's way of saying, this is how I made it. For example, when Kermit meets Fozzie, that's symbolic of how Jim Henson met Frank Oz. Even during Moving Right Along, in mid-song, when Kermit and Fozzie are on the road, they find Big Bird, and when they ask him if he wants a lift, Big Bird says, no, I'm on my way to try to break into public television. As Jim and Frank were moving, Sesame Street was happening, so there's all sorts of little things like that in the movie. And I think this song here, Magic Store, the last verse of the song perfectly summarizes what the Muppet Movie was all about.
So we're going to hear the end, or
hear a little bit of the beginning, then we'll jump to 427.
Okay.
It starts when we're kids.
Kermit the Frog.
I show off at school.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Making faces at friends. You're a clown and a fool. Doing pratfalls and bird calls and bad imitations. Ignoring your homework, is that dedication? You work through the mirror. You're getting standing ovations. You're burning with hope.
All right, let's jump to a 427 and play it to the end, I guess.
Life's like a movie, write your own ending. Keep believing, keep pretending. We've done just what we've set out to do. Thanks to the lovers, the dreamers, and you.
Very nice. I don't remember that. I haven't seen the Muppet Movie in years.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it in a long time.
Aaron, you go deep on your knowledge of the Muppets. Holy C-R-A-P. Or if it was the Muppet Show, it'd be holy carp. Let's hear what happens when Mr. Adam Sandler stops by Sesame Street.
Why, oh.
You don't know which one's Elmo or Sandler.
Guess what? Elmo's friend, Mr. Adam Sandler, is making up a song.
Sure, they hang out.
Mr. Adam Sandler?
Mm-hmm.
Are you making up a song right
now? That's right.
What's Mr. Adam Sandler's song about?
It's about you, Elmo.
Ooh. Elmo? Mr. Adam Sandler is making a song about Elmo?
Yes.
Well, can Elmo hear it?
I want to play it for you. I just got to come up with something that rhymes with Elmo.
Oh, go ahead. Do your thing.
Petunia.
Nope.
No. Okay, sesquipedalia.
No.
Oh.
Elmo can't think of a word that rhymes with Elmo either.
Lame-o.
Trouble, Elmo.
Oh. Guess Mr. Adam Sandler can't make up a song about Elmo.
Whoa.
Go to Elmo.
You can't?
This is a song about Elmo.
Uh-huh.
Who likes to play an Yelmo.
Yelmo!
When he rides his tricycle,
yeah,
he always rings his bellmo.
Bring, bring.
At night he takes a bubble bath.
That's right.
Just so he won't.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, it's not about a penguin.
Oh.
With the rose in his lapel mo.
He takes that bubble bath with Little Richard.
A song about a shrimp.
Michael Jackson style.
His barbell mo. It's not a song about a banana.
Oh.
Who slipped on himself and fell mo. It's not about a parrot talking on his cell mo.
Hey, can you hear me now?
It's not about.
Chris Farley was a fatso. I came across that today. I love it.
I love it.
What are we going to talk about now? Great Muppet Caper?
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk. Great Muppet Caper.
It's one where they steal the Muppets.
I think that's going to go right into Hey, a Movie, and then right into the song. So let's hear all of it.
Next up is The Great Muppet Caper, released in 1981. Some fans call this their favorite Muppet movie. Hmm. I still think the Muppet movie's better, but this is a really great movie. Really funny. Plenty of fourth wall breaking jokes. Composing the music for this movie was Joe Raposo, who was already known for his work on Sesame Street. Okay, the first thing I picked is Hey, a Movie. And as the first song in The Great Muppet Caper, this serves as the perfect introduction to the movie. It tells the audience what they're in for and that anything can happen in a movie.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Hey, a movie!
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie!
Starring everybody
and me! There'll be heroes bold, there'll be comedy, and a lot of fuss that ends for us real happily.
Hey, a movie!
We can watch it all develop!
Starring everybody
and me! We'll take the world! And set it on its ear.
Come on, join in. We're gonna start right here.
It's okay, I landed on my head. Oh, come here, chicken.
Yoo-hoo. Kyle, what is your favorite Muppet movie?
I don't know if I've seen all of them. I really like A Muppet Christmas Carol.
I like A Muppet Christmas Carol, too.
I watch that. Like, that's the one I've watched the most. Yeah. I definitely watch that every year.
Because there's a reason to watch it every year, because it's Christmas, so you watch it.
I like the 2011 The Muppets a lot.
Yeah, that was good, too. And then they dropped the ball severely.
Oh, Muppets Most Wanted is...
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, turn it up, fuck.
When I walked out of that, there was like a little... There were like two kids and a grandmother, and... The kid goes, "Grandma, did you like it?" And she goes, "No, not at all."
That's like what Nana Lucy would say. Yeah. You're supposed to tell kids.
She goes, "No, not at all."
You're supposed to say, "Yeah, yes, honey. It was just fun seeing it with you." That's what you say. Oh my God! What I like Muppet Christmas Carol too. My favorite line is when at the end who's narrating it? Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
When Gonzo says, "And Tiny Tim, who did not die."
I like
and Michael Caine, he plays it like he's playing with real people. He's acting against real people instead of puppets. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's great. He's better than a lot of people that play Ebenezer Scrooge in with other people.
Yes, with other real live action
people. George C. Scott, like, oh,
I'm scared as Marley.
Come in and know me better, man.
What's next? I think I have a song there. I think this is a... There's
it seems like there are more than eight, but yeah, there are only eight.
Yeah, there's how many? Four good ones?
It's kind of like the Star Trek movies, isn't it? Like where almost every other one's good.
Yeah, probably. Name them for me.
There's the Muppet movie?
Yes.
Great Muppet Caper.
Yep.
The Muppets Take Manhattan.
I think it's good.
A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Great.
That was a big break in between there. Muppet Treasure Island.
I think it's okay.
I saw that at the theater, but I don't remember it that much. Muppets from Space, I know I've never seen.
No, I never saw it either.
I never liked
that sketch in The Muppet Show with the pigs in space.
No.
And I don't like Miss Piggy.
I don't either.
I do not like Miss Piggy. She's fucking annoying. Seriously. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, I hate Miss Piggy. Does anyone like Miss Piggy? Because I don't like her.
What sketch does Kermit call her the C word?
I don't know, but I'd like Adam Sandler to sing a song about that. What's the other? What are the other ones?
Then the Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah, Muppets Most Wanted is... And Jason Segel had nothing to do with that one, right?
No. Yeah. Same director, though.
I know, but it's about the script.
And then Stoller and Siegel wrote the first one, and then Stoller and Bobbin wrote the second one.
Well, then Bobbin fucked it up.
Well, Bobbin was the director.
Yeah, he can't do both. He can only direct. Siegel, come on, man. That's good, though. I bet Jason Siegel was happy it wasn't great, because he's like, yeah, man, I know
and
what
Tina
I'm doing.
Fey's not good in it. Ricky Gervais is not good in it.
And neither is, what's his name from Modern Family?
Oh, yeah, Ty Burrell's horrible.
It's terrible. But they're all good when they do other things.
Yeah, it's just a bad movie because they're all trying to be Russian.
Yeah.
There's like a fake Kermit.
So dumb. And I heard Tina Fey and Miss Piggy did not get along because Miss Piggy is a bitch. No one likes her. All right. What I got, there was a singer who had a song called You're Beautiful. Mm-hmm. His name was James Blunt. And he was on Sesame Street. Let's see what he did when he was on there. I share a birthday with him.
I share a birthday with Kanye West.
Congratulations.
James! What? James! As soon as I heard you needed me, I dropped everything!
Who's that?
Well, it might be Telly.
Almost everything. So, well, what's the problem? I'm here for you, buddy!
Telly, I've lost something very special to me, and I think you're the only one who'll understand.
Telly?
Oh no! What did you lose?
Well,
my virginity.
I can't really talk about it. But I can sing about it.
Oh. My virginity. to Telly.
Snuffleupagus put his trunk up my A.
This guy's in the British military.
I know he was. It's crazy, right? I think this song has one of his songs has the F word in it.
It's this one.
Okay. So fucking beautiful. What if he...
His shape was brilliant.
I hope he uses the F word in this version.
This shape was brilliant. This shape was pure.
I like it so far.
I saw three angles. Of that I'm sure. And I saw three pointy corners. And then I saw three straight sides. The top was very narrow and the base was oh so wide.
That sounds like
a triangle. My triangle. Oh, triangle, it's true.
Telly's a triangle hound.
I saw your shape in a crowded place. Now I don't know what to do.
All right, I love that.
Cause you're gone.
I'm gonna fuck you. Telly was originally, like, the Cookie Monster of television. Like, he, like, just only wanted to watch television.
Oh.
And then they changed it because they were like, oh, we're a television show, so we probably shouldn't say that people shouldn't watch television.
Pilar's mom, Sidel. Rock and peace, Sidel.
Loved Telly.
No. Hated Cookie Monster because he spoke grammatically incorrect. Me want cookie and all that. She hated it. Hated Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster is one of my favorite.
Well, that's because you don't know how to talk.
Me want Cookie Monster.
Me like Cookie Monster. All right, what's next? Something called Nightlife. Aaron, tell us. I don't even know what it is. Tell us, Aaron.
He's like, so the Muppets, Nightlife, they go out and...
And they
bang around.
They snort coke off Janice's puppet hole.
Well, not as fun as Can You Picture That, the Electric Mayhem song in the second movie is still good. Listening to Jim Henson sing as Dr. Teeth, it makes you wonder how he was able to sing in that gruff voice for so long.
Give me my good friends and play me my music. Yeah, give me my nightlife. Talk me that guitar and play that boogie. Yeah, give me my nightlife. Dance in the moonlight, we'll rock until dawn. And if you're gonna do it, baby, I'm
I wonder who Dr. Teeth was supposed to be, like, patterned after. Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Yeah, sure.
Wonder who it was.
I don't know. I know that...
wonder if it was Dr. John.
Maybe. I know that, you know, he and Bowie and Jagger, they used to just fuck. They'd fuck each other. They'd fuck around, you know.
No, that's Lou Reed and Iggy Pop.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, you got your bands mixed up, my friend. What's
it? Was it Dr. Teeth?
Well, I don't think it was Dr. Teeth. Dr. Teeth did not give a good BJ.
I knew that.
Look.
That's why his voice was so gruff.
You can see that this is labeled explicit.
He first appeared in the Muppet Show Sex and Violence.
That's what it says?
Yeah.
What is that?
I guess it was an episode of the Muppet Show titled Sex and Violence. They didn't give a shit back then.
No, they didn't. Alice Cooper hosted, for God's sake. He was a special guest.
He ripped a Muppet's head off.
Look at that picture. We're looking at Google right now. I'm looking at a picture of Jim Henson.
That's a bad picture of Henson. His eyes are all closed.
Yeah, he's high. He's got the blue jeans and blue jean jacket. That never looks good.
Oh, a Canadian tuxedo?
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to wear a jean jacket, then your jeans have to be a really different shade than the jean jacket, right?
Yeah. He is inspired by Dr. John.
Okay, perfect. I'm smart. All right, what's our next? What's next?
It's one of yours.
Oh, and who? Oh, say, who's this? I like this lady.
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, let's hear what she's singing. What's she singing about? Power of
Yet.
Power of Yet. This has got to be pretty new.
How does it go?
These no look right.
Oh, we'll never get this.
Oh, you missed a drum.
No.
There. 2 plus 2. Oh, boy. Emma will never get it right.
Pause it a second.
Tried to add, but the numbers came out wrong.
Did everyone on Sesame Street take a dumb pill? What's going on here? All right, let's hear. That wasn't worth the stop.
Everyone had stroke.
You tried to sing, but you didn't know the whole song. You tried to cook, but the food, it didn't taste right. You tried to dunk, but you didn't get enough hype. You didn't do it right now, but keep trying. You learn how. You just didn't get it yet, but you'll get it soon, I bet. That's the power of a yet.
Yet, yet, yet.
That's the power of a yet.
Yet, 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 yet.
That is what you get with the power of a yet. Come on. You tried to ride, but you couldn't make the letter R. You tried to jump, but you didn't make it very far. You tried to drum, but you couldn't find a downbeat. You tried to dance, but you tripped on your own feet. Just breathe, don't lose control. Keep trying and you reach your goal. You just didn't get it yet, but you'll make it soon, I bet. That's the power of a yet.
Yet, yet, yet.
That's the power of a yet.
She's the real deal, man. She can act, she can sing.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
Good for her. What's next? What's Aaron got for us? Aaron Kahn is our co-host.
Wait, hold on. Is the Great Muppet Caper where, like, is it Charles Grodin who's in that?
Well, Grodin's great.
What, in one of them, like, someone, like, tries to, like, seduce Miss Piggy.
Well, Grodin was always known back in the day as a chubby chaser.
Yeah, falls in love with Miss Piggy and then commits a jewel heist.
Man, what a horny dude. He would bang anything on the set. All right, what are we hearing about the, Muppets Take Manhattan?
Take Manhattan.
Oh, now, for the song, for Together Again, we're going to start it around 1:30 when you get there so that we can skip the whistling, which must be really annoying. Oh, it's probably so annoying. Maybe we'll hear a little bit of it.
Muppets Take Manhattan, released in 1984. A good movie. Of the first three, it's probably my least favorite, but it is not bad at all. Though the thing working against it is that it's a bit nitpicky, but the narrative is pretty confusing. The way it's presented, it shows the Muppets as aspiring actors who just got out of college. So if that's the case, then these guys all meet in college and decide to get together, and that's what's confusing about it. It's not a big deal because it's still a really good movie, and the songs in it are very, very good. The songs for this movie were written by Jeff Moss, who is another songwriter for Sesame Street. The first song I picked here is Together Again, which is one of my all-time favorite songs from the Muppets. It's a catchy tune that sounds like something straight out of a Broadway musical, which is what they were going for, but it's so spot on.
Oh, there's no whistling there. So what is it, 1:30?
1:30. Ba-dum.
Together again, together again. It's good to be together again. I just can't imagine that you've ever been gone. It's not starting over, it's just going on.
Together again, now we're here and there's no need remembering when.
'Cause no feeling feels like that feeling.
Together again.
I I don't know that song at all.
I remember that song.
I don't. I actually don't.
So this was the first one that was directed by Frank Oz. This movie.
It's the one Aaron doesn't like.
Manhattan. He said it's okay. He said it's not bad. But I remember...
I hear the narratives all over the place.
Oh, it's a mess. No, but the one... I know what I wanted to say earlier when we were talking about Frank Oz. Movie he directed, Bowfinger.
Oh, my
God. Highly underrated
So
film.
Underrated and so great. Maybe one of Eddie Murphy's best performances.
Oh, hands down.
And him and Steve Martin together? I mean, it's I don't.
Steve Martin is hilarious
in it. It's so funny. And who else is Heather Graham in that?
I think so.
Give me, just click on Frank Oz and tell me his filmography as a director.
Give me 1 second. Vamp a little bit.
Yeah, so Kyle, could you click on it? I told you. No, Frank Oz. No, hey. Scroll up. Oh, my God. Is this vamping? I don't know what vamping is. There he is.
Okay.
Filmography
so,
as director. Only as director.
Yeah, okay. Here we go.
All right.
The Dark Crystal, which is a snooze.
Okay.
I've never been able to stay awake during that movie. Muppets Take Manhattan.
All right. I hear the narrative's terrible.
Little Shop of Horrors from 86.
It's okay. Has some good scenes.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
It's really good.
I've never seen that. What About Bob?
Oh, it's great. It is great.
House Sitter.
I did like House Sitter with Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn. Good pairing.
Indian in the Cupboard.
That's a child's movie. That's something you see at Neverland.
In and Out.
Who's in?
Romantic comedy starring Kevin Kline, Tom Selleck, Joan Cusack, Matt Dillon, Debbie Reynolds, Bob Newhart.
That broke some ground for when it came out because it was about, I'm pretty sure it was about a gay romance.
Well.
So that's why In and Out and Out of the Closet. So I think.
Yeah, In and Out, you know. Give them the old In and Out. Then Bowfinger in 99. So good.
99 was Bowfinger?
Yeah. The Score.
What's The Score? Oh, that's a serious movie. Obviously, he shouldn't do that. All right, what's next?
Stepford Wives, the remake.
Yeah, probably not good, right? Who's in that?
Nicole Kidman, Matthew Broderick.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
Bette Midler, Christopher Walken.
No.
Faith Hill.
No. What's next?
Death at a Funeral, which I've never seen, but I've heard is amazing.
Who's in that?
It's British people and Peter Dinklage.
All right. And what else? Is that the last thing? No.
No, this is behind the scenes thing of the Muppets.
So the last time he directed a film was what year?
2007.
All right. Well, he's got some winners on that list, so good for him. Good for him. All right, what's the next song on our list?
It is a song from Aaron.
Okay, let's hear it, Aaron.
When The Muppets Take Manhattan came out, many critics cited this musical sequence as a highlight in the movie. In the movie, Miss Piggy wonders what it would have been like if she and Kermit had met when they were babies, which leads to baby versions of the Muppet characters in performing this 1950s rock and roll song. The praise for this musical sequence ultimately led to Jim Henson making the animated series Muppet Babies, which aired from 1984 to 1991.
It's a spin-off, Kyle.
Further throws everything off. They met as babies, then they met in college, then they met somewhere
else.
Doesn't
make any sense.
No matter what life may bring, no matter what I may do, be sure of one special thing. I'm gonna always be loving you. Gonna be a movie star.
Oh, I know this song. This was our wedding song. We danced to this. All right. The next song coming up that I want to play, and you really have to go and watch the video, and maybe it's just me, but when I watch this video on YouTube, I find that Paul Simon looks so annoyed with being on Sesame Street. He shoots this girl a look at one point, like he just is not...
A real girl, not like...
It's a real girl. Yeah, it's a real... You'll hear her singing. He's not into it at all, but this is Paul Simon on Sesame Street singing Me and Julio.
Dance.
his guitar is mad.
Police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. But the mama saw it was against the law. Ooh, the mama down, spit on the ground.
So angry at her.
Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I won't stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona.
That's her clapping all over the place. Okay.
Art Garfunkel doesn't see that bad now, huh?
Nope. Call Artie up. He's good. Let's hear a little. You like Fraggle Rock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids like Fraggle Rock. I don't think I've ever seen an episode of it.
It's fine. I don't really remember that many episodes. They're digging and building shit.
Yeah, building shit. Let's hear about it. Aaron knows stuff.
On HBO in 1983, Fraggle Rock was another children's show that used the puppetry of Jim Henson. The show ran for 5 years and garnered a cult following over the years. Personally, I never really had the chance to watch the show. However, it is a part of the Muppets history, and I'm acknowledging it here by
picking
a catchy theme song.
Yeah, now they're fracking, right?
Yes, they are, actually. And it's, that's what they're doing, right? It's fracking rock. That's a good joke. That should have got more, but I'm the only one here to laugh. Here's our second asshole of the night who made an appearance at Sesame Street. This is Mr. Billy Joel, and he's performing with Marlee Matlin. Now, you won't hear her because she's signing. American Sign Language.
And as he goes, turn on the fucking lights.
He's like, lie, speak up. So let's hear what he's going to do. BJ.
Okay.
Oh, he's mad already.
State your name, then beat it.
I'm Billy Joel.
Billy Joel what? Cat got your last name there?
Look, I didn't come here to be made fun of.
And this is Marlee Matlin.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Marlee Matlin.
We're grouch groupies.
We love grouches.
You love grouches? Oh, yuck.
And whenever I throw away a used piano, I give it to a grouch. And this time, you're it.
Oh, yeah? Ooh, a used piano, man.
Wow. Billy Joel is a horrible actor. Horrible.
Every time I used piano.
Remember how great we said Michael Caine was with puppets? Billy Joel's the exact opposite.
Billy Joel's as bad as puppets as Paul Simon is with kids.
I didn't know his New York accent was that thick either. Hey, we're here to play with some Muppets.
Hey, I'm on Sesame Street.
Okay, let's keep it going because I'm into the acting.
Huh.
And Marlee helped me push this here.
Yeah? Well, while you're pushing, why don't you just both shove off? But leave my piano.
Why don't you both fuck off?
Not yet.
Hmm?
Because with the piano comes a song. A love song.
Oh, my God.
A love song?
Fuck you.
You hear the song, and then you get the piano.
I knew there had to be strings attached.
This one's for you, Oscar.
Who wrote this?
Right from the heart.
Right from the heart? Billy, I'm gonna hate this.
Billy Joel wrote the whole thing.
Did he change the lyrics up? I hope so.
Don't go changing.
So far, no.
Just to please me.
A little bit different.
Cause being friendly's not your style. Mm-hmm.
grouchy, really grouchy. You've done it pretty well so far.
Oh, compliments. This is getting pretty sticky.
I took the bad times. I'll take the worst times. I'll take you just the way you are.
The way I am, huh? Huh, I'll change that.
All right. Oscar is a complete fucking dickhead.
He's always been my favorite. One of my favorites.
What's that say about you?
I know. I wish he sang "We Didn't Start the Fire." It's like Marley Matlin signs the song. Oscar's grouchy all day long.
Marley Matlin's in that video. Yeah, now you say it.
Yeah, you said that at the beginning, and it says it here.
No, she's in the "We Didn't Start Fire" video. Yeah, she's dressed up like a hippie chick.
Oh,
hippie chick. Yeah, that's how they know each other.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, I just thought she helped him throw out his pianos. You know, all the pianos you get rid of?
The pianos.
That you just wheel around.
Let's move on to...
Give the grouches.
Magic dance.
In 1982 and 1986, Jim Henson made two theatrical fantasy movies, The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. While both movies bombed at the box office, the movies are still loved by Henson fans alike. For Labyrinth, Henson chose David Bowie to star as the main antagonist, Jareth. Along with appearing in the movie, Bowie performed some new songs. Of the songs in the movie, this is easily my favorite.
This is a good song. He also tosses a baby around.
It's a babe. Babe with the power. Power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
You do.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
I saw my baby crying for this babe. Could cry. What could I do? My baby's love had gone. And left my baby blue. Nobody knew. What kind of magic spell to use?
Mine is new.
Oh, what with the tales.
Thunder over the light.
And baby said,
I like that.
Yeah. It's a good song.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. I don't mind that movie, but I don't love it like everyone else does. Like, he's good in it, but the rest of the story is kind of just like Jennifer Connelly's just a horrible babysitter.
And that's the story.
Yeah, like I think she falls asleep while she's watching, I think it's her baby brother, and then David Bowie just comes and steals her baby brother, and then she has to like go to this labyrinth and get him back. It's a little flimsy of a premise.
All right, where are we at? What's next?
We just heard Magic Dance. Now we got Muppets Tonight, which is a talk show.
Despite Jim Henson's death in 1990, the Henson family decided to keep the Muppets going with Jim's son Brian at the helm. 1996, the Jim Henson Company tried to make a modern-day version of The Muppet Show called Muppets Tonight, styling it after Saturday Night Live and The Tonight Show. Unlike The Muppet Show, this wasn't hosted by Kermit, for whatever reason, from memory. He really wasn't a part of the show. Instead, it was hosted by Clifford, a humanoid Muppet, voiced by Kevin Clash, who voiced Elmo on Sesame Street. It only lasted for two seasons, but I still have good memories of watching it on the Disney Channel.
I don't think I like this.
It's Muppets Tonight with our very special guest star, Michelle Pfeiffer. Yay!
But that's Kermit.
If you're a human being, take a break from the race.
So was he in it, but he didn't host it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a lot to do, and we do it for you. Everybody take your place.
Kind of a slap in the face, right?
Did they do like a whole monologue and everything? Was it like set up like a late show?
I've never seen it because I think I was a grown up.
Okay, I wonder if they were like, because of the time, I wonder if they were like, so how about that Iran-Contra scandal, huh? Like, they make it like real like.
I always get excited about a new Muppet thing and then And then sometimes I
never watched that Muppets on ABC.
No, neither did I. I don't even think Aaron's talking about that tonight. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how that went. It seemed like
they should have made it like The Office.
Oh, that would have been great. That would have been great.
Like they're just in the right, or like kind of like a 30 Rock Office yeah. type thing, which maybe they, well, maybe they did.
Maybe that's good. Exactly what it was, and it just wasn't good. All right, what do we got coming up next? What's next in the hopper?
This is Aaron's going to intro the goodbye song.
Appearing on the Disney Channel in 1997, Bear in the Big Blue House was a children's TV series from the Jim Henson Company.
That's a good show.
I have memories
show.
Of watching this show with my younger sister, who was the age the show was targeted towards. Even though I was a little too old for the show, I still liked it just for the puppetry and the creativity. Every show would end with the character of Bear talking to his moon friend Luna. And Luna was voiced by the late Lynn Thigpen, who's perhaps best known for her role as the chief in Carmen Sandiego, another show from my childhood. Bear would tell Luna about the events earlier in the episode before they would go into this song. Now, the reason why I picked the goodbye song from Bear in the Big Blue House is because my mom really, really likes this song. And I asked her while picking songs for the show, I just said, "Do you think I should play this?" And she said, "Oh yeah, go ahead and play it." We went to Disney World two times, once in 2001 and then 2007. And in both years, we went to the Playhouse Disney show. And even though my sister and I were way too old for Playhouse Disney by the second time we went to Disney World, we attended the show mostly because my mom wanted to hear the goodbye song.
Been up here lighting up the sky.
Luna, do you have time to sing a goodbye song before you go?
Always, Bear.
Hey, this was really fun.
We hope you liked it too.
Seems like we've just begun when suddenly we're through. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. 'Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay.
'Cause we'll see you very soon, I know.
Very soon.
Now,
nice.
I love it, but what I'm worried about now is that Aaron's mom is going to listen to the show.
Wow.
Aaron.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Bear always reminded me of John Goodman.
You know, he's a pretty good actor. I met Bear.
There you see John Goodman.
No, but when I did, I tell you this, when I first moved out here and I would do extra work, they were doing a production of Streetcar Named Desire with... like Baldwin, I think, Jessica Lange.
And Bear from Bear.
And Bear. And John Goodman. And
Luna!
And I saw Luna! And it was on a big sound stage where, and you know, we were like in period costumes. I was a mechanic, so I was like laying under a car. So if I was even in it, it was my legs. But I saw John Goodman do the grossest thing I've ever seen. You know, I hate smoking. Mm-hmm. So it was lunchtime. He was eating a sandwich.
Just eating cigarettes.
You're not going to believe it. When I tell you this, you're going to think that I'm making it up. But then if you think about it, you're like, how would you make that up? You couldn't make that up. He took a drag of his cigarette, took a bite of his sandwich, and then blew smoke out. Fucking gross, right?
Was this when he was prepping for the babe?
I don't know. He was... sweaty all the time, just profusely sweating from the face and head area from smoking and the eating. So now
you met Bear.
I met Bear. Pilar's sister.
He was smoking as well.
Same thing. Pilar's sister worked at the Henson Company, and one day she called and said, "Hey, you know, some of the employees and stuff, there's a thing they can bring their kids to tomorrow. So I wanted to invite you and Ezra," mm-hmm. at the time, Sarah, down. And Pilar couldn't go, so I went. And it was to meet Bear in the Big Blue House. Guy was in total costume. It was the real guy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm pretty sure it was Elmo. And Elmo was just sitting in a chair, but it was... Kevin mm-hmm. Clash was doing the voice.
Like Annabelle. Just sitting in chairs, yes. Rocking.
Yes. Or Chucky.
Yeah.
But it was like, and Ezra loved Bear in the Big Blue House, but Bear was so big that it was a little bit like, okay, I'm sure I have pictures somewhere. I won't be able to dig them out before this drops. I'll try though, as I burp. I'll try. But it was really cool.
That is cool.
Because they'd say, like, you would be in line, and they'd say, what's your child's name? And you'd say, and then you'd get up there, and they would talk to you, you know?
Hi, Sarah, what are you doing? I'm Melmo. That's Bear. He's like John Goodman.
Let me smoke and eat my sandwich.
Goodbye, goodbye, my heart will die. Okay, what's the next song we got? What do we got? What's it say?
This is
something called...
This is from the new movie. This is about the new movies.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now, following the death of Jim Henson, there were three other theatrical Muppet movies from 1982 to 1989. I haven't picked any music from them, but I'm going to talk about them and give my thoughts on them. The first of them was Muppet Christmas Carol, which is a good movie and a nice take on the Charles Dickens novel. Muppet Treasure Island, I remember seeing that in theaters, actually. And that's also a very good movie, and I also remember playing the PC game for it. Now, I don't go back to these movies as much as the first three, but they're still very, very good. And the last of those three movies was Muppets from Space, which came out in 1999. I remember seeing that one in theaters and eventually owning it on VHS. I liked it when I was younger. Just this last year of 2018, I went to a DVD store and... While buying the first two Muppet movies, I saw that there was a buy two, get one free deal. So I picked out Muppets from Space because I thought, well, I haven't seen it in so many years. After watching it for the first time in many, many years, I can safely say that this movie has not aged well. Most fans regard it as the weakest of the Muppet movies. It tried to explain what Gonzo was. They tried to explain that he was an alien, and the whole movie was about UFOs, and it's just not... a good movie. There's a couple of laughs here and there, but it's a movie that really hasn't aged all that well. And it's the only Muppet movie that isn't a musical. The movie's performance at the box office was not very good, and it's probably what kept the Muppets off of the big screen until 2011. In 2011 and 2014, there were two new Muppet movies released, and these were the first Muppet movies released since Muppets from Space. In between those years, between Muppets from Space and the Muppets from 2011, there were a couple TV specials that were made, mostly Christmas specials, and there was one where they did The Wizard of Oz. But they came back to the big screen in 2011, and I really, really like the 2011 movie. I also enjoyed the music, which was all written by Britt McKenzie of Flight of the Conchords fame. And of the songs in the movie, my favorite is this song here, A Man or Muppet, which was the Oscar winner for Best Original Song that year.
Of course, it has
and
to be.
It's a funny yet touching song from the movie, and it's sung by Jason Segel's character and his Muppet brother, Walter.
I reflect on my reflection, and I ask myself the question, what's the right direction to go? I don't know. Am I a man or am I a Muppet?
Am I a Muppet?
If I'm a Muppet, then I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly Muppet.
Am I a Muppet?
It's so great. It is.
Or am I a man?
Am I a man?
If I'm a man, that makes me a Muppet of a man.
A Muppet of a man.
I look into these eyes.
That's Walter.
And I don't recognize the one I see inside. It's time for me to decide, am I a man or am I a Muppet?
Am I a
now that's,
Muppet?
Is that Jim Parsons?
Yeah,
he's good.
I'm a Muppet, well, I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly.
I like it.
So for those of you who have seen it, when Jason Segel looks in the mirror, he sees himself as a Muppet. And then when Walter, who's a Muppet, looks in the mirror, Jim Parsons is supposed to be his man counterpart. So
it's pretty funny.
It is funny.
I think we're down to our are we down to our last song?
Yeah.
All right. So our next song coming up, Kyle. We're almost near the end. This is from Muppets Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. Not great. No. Not even good.
No, I didn't enjoy it at all.
No, it's just, it's not good.
When it's on TV, I don't even...
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Gervais isn't good?
No.
Tina Fey's not good.
No, Ty Burrell's horrible.
But this is Tina Fey singing in a Russian accent, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song called Big House. Let's hear what Aaron has to say about The Big House.
My last song that I have picked here is from the latest Muppet movie from 2014, Muppets Most Wanted. Served as the follow-up to the 2011 movie. Not as good as the previous movie, but I don't think it's a bad movie either. Like the previous movie, the music was written by Brett McKenzie. This song here, The Big House, sung by Tina Fey, is my favorite from the movie. A fun doo-wop inspired song, and it was stuck in my head after leaving the theater.
Hit it, boys. This is Russia's premier state-funded hotel.
Is that Melania Trump?
We're very proud of our eclectic clientele. Excellence in service since 1932. Don't believe what you read in the online reviews. It's the big house, the perfect getaway.
I do like this
Welcome
song, though.
Welcome into the big house.
Yeah, she's
Never
singing about the White House.
Away. It's no Hilton.
That's where she's trapped, I think.
Here's the dining room. The menu is minimal. What the cook does,
that's good enough, right?
Is criminal. Pull up a seat, frog, grab your.
All right,
Josh Groban's in there somewhere on this.
Really? He sings
song.
On it?
Yeah.
Maybe he sings the ba-da-da-da.
Maybe.
Josh Groban's an actor.
I think he's a guy in solitary confinement, and they open the. I don't think you see him. But they just open the thing, and he's just like. An amazing singer.
Oh, okay.
In
I
there,
get it.
If I remember correctly.
That's a good gag that kids will get. Oh, Mom, is that Josh Groban? So, what was I going to say?
Is that the guy who's Tony Danza's son?
Let's promote it. We got one more song. It'll be a play out. It's probably the most iconic of all Muppet songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's sung by Kermit.
Mm-hmm. Kermit the Frog.
Again, pretty good. So pretty good, Kermit.
Not too bad. I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's promote Aaron. You did a great job. You mm-hmm. are at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, underscore con, C-O-N-N,
mm-hmm.
double A on the Aaron, double N on the con.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at Twitter. So follow Aaron. And Aaron engages a lot on the Twitter and mm-hmm. the Facebook and et cetera. So reach out and mm-hmm. get in touch. Mr. Heron Khan, we are at Rock Solid Show. I am at Pat underscore Francis. Kyle is at Kyle Dotson. Funny. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about Rock Solid t-shirts, Patreon page, all that good stuff. And this is it. This was a fun episode. Why am I doing an like that? I don't know, but I am.
Oh, you're meditating.
And let's hear it. This was written by Paul Williams.
Mm-hmm.
This has, it was so cool when I first saw this because like Kermit was like, you saw his whole body, right? Isn't he in?
Yeah.
Do you see his whole body?
Yeah. He's just sitting there. I gotta be honest. I don't like seeing the Muppets from the waist down.
It's disconcerting.
That's one of my problems with Muppets Most Wanted is there's like a whole scene where they're like walking and it's real weird. And I don't like seeing a Muppet walk. I just would rather see them just appear.
It should just be like marionette or puppetry.
Like back to real quick.
No special effects.
Real quick, but back to that horrible, what was that puppet Melissa McCarthy movie that we were just talking about called?
What was it called?
Happy Time Murders.
Happy Time like, Come Puppets.
I think it would be so funny if she gets out of the car and her partner, who's a Muppet, is like, she's like, are you coming? I'm like, yeah, I'll get there. And then when she just walks in, he's just behind like something.
Yeah.
How'd you get in here so fast? Like, and then he could just be like, put gloves on. It's a crime scene. We need to get moving. You know what I mean? Like
that would be a funny great gag. That would be a good gag.
And that's
gag.
Off the top of my head.
That's without you even thinking about
yeah.
it. All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Kermit the Frog. He's going to sing a little bit of a thing called... We saw one today.
A rainbow.
A rainbow.
Yeah. All this LA rain.
Yeah. And every time I see a rainbow, I think of Ronnie James Dio. Rainbow Connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
So many
songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.